You're listening to SBS News.
He rose to power as an African hero, and in the eyes of many on the continent, he died as one. But he leaves behind a mixed legacy. Born in 1924, Robert Gabriel Mugabe trained as a teacher, but from 1960 he gained prominence as leader of the Zimbabwe African National Union, ZANU, later to become ZANU-PF. The country, then Rhodesia, plunged deeper into civil war against white minority rule, and Robert Mugabe spent a decade as a political prisoner. He returned from exile in triumph to win the British-brokered independence elections in 1980. The British flag was lowered on Rhodesia, and Robert Mugabe became Prime Minister of Zimbabwe. He wanted total control and began brutally stamping out political opposition.
The time has now come for us to show this evil party our teeth. We can bite, and we shall certainly bite.
His partner in the armed struggle, the leader of the Zimbabwe African People's Union, Joshua Nkomo, was one of the early casualties of Robert Mugabe's crackdown on dissent. Joshua Nkomo was dismissed from government, where he'd held the Home Affairs portfolio, after the discovery of an armed cache in his Matabeleland province stronghold in 1982.
The beatings, the killing, the torture is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And these people will play it off. People are being taken daily at night and they disappear forever.
More than 20,000 people are estimated to have died in the Midlands and Matabeleland provinces. The massacres are believed to be one of the reasons Robert Mugabe clung to power for so long, for fear of being brought to trial. But it was in this context that Robert Mugabe made a visit to Australia, says La Trobe University's Dr. David Dorwood.
It was in 1984 and came out to La Trobe University and gave an address, and it was very impressive because the audience was more than sprinkled with white Rhodesians who were quite hostile to begin with, and he charmed them. He was really, you know, if I've done things wrong, I hope you'll forgive me. I forgive you. We are all Zimbabweans. That type of rhetoric. That's sort of Mugabe in the early days of his administration.
When the violence ended in 1987, Robert Mugabe changed the constitution to become executive president. Then there was the problem of powerful white farmers. They were less than 1% of the population, but owned more than 60% of the arable land. When a constitutional referendum to strip them of their land rights failed in 2000, Mugabe's supporters simply invaded, killing families in an organised campaign. As the nation's main export, agriculture, suffered, the economy went into meltdown. Inflation and unemployment skyrocketed. Officially a parliamentary democracy, Robert Mugabe continued to hold elections in Zimbabwe, but they were plagued with allegations of vote rigging and violence.
There will never be a regime change here. There will always be the people of Zimbabwe in control.
Over time, the hero of independence became an international pariah, stripped of honorary degrees and other accolades. The longtime leader was removed from power in a coup in 2017. Dr. Dorwood says there'll doubtless be a period of mourning declared in Zimbabwe by President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
The current government is dominated by a man who was Robert Mugabe's head of security. Mnangagwa will no doubt have some kind of state funeral. ZANU-PF will forgive and forget, and it'll all be a great national mourning. Most Zimbabweans will be glad to see the last of Robert Mugabe.
Philippa Carisbrook, SBS News.